Well, hello and welcome once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of The Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business. We are located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. We are in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this hand car washing business. And we do it so that we can put these messages into your ears. We are a self-sufficient ministry. That is, we earn the money washing the cars so that we can put these messages into your ears via this radio station, which is WMCH 1260 AM, Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM in the morning. You can hear these messages. Also, you're welcome to drive by into the parking lot where the Wash and Word is located. And by turning your FM dial to 107.1 FM, you can hear all the messages that are played this week. And we run those on a loop on 107.1 FM. You don't even have to get your car washed. You can just pull into the parking lot and tune in. And you can also find out all the information that you would like about this ministry and about the car wash itself by going to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings because we believe that, well, a few things. Number one, I don't think the world needs more churches as much as the world needs more of the Word of God. And this ministry was founded with that in mind as we sought to find a way to get verse-by-verse Bible teaching into the world without the constrictions of having to either run a church or go to church. And with that, I'd like to say that we are totally not against church at all. I believe that it is the greatest institution that the world has ever known. It is vital to a Christian's growth that one plugs into a Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church. We just feel that there's room out there for God's Word to be preached outside of the standard format of the Sunday morning or Wednesday night church setting. And so that's how we do our part to get God's Word out there. You can check out the Vision ministry that we there's a section on the website that it's entitled Vision, and it basically describes how we got to this point if you're interested in how this ministry came about. And there are ways that you can support this ministry. The most important way is to come by and let us wash your car so that we can earn the money to keep this ministry going. We never ask for donations or charity or tithes or anything, but anything you give above and beyond the cost of the car wash goes back into the ministry. And finally, the best way to support us is just listen. You know, we put these messages on the radio because we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the most effective way to properly equip the church, the saints of God, and even to draw unbelievers to Christ. And this is the most effective way because it's all of God's Word. When we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we are not limiting ourselves, to certain subjects that we want to stay away from or certain subjects that we like preaching on. And likewise, we eliminate the ability for the hearer to only listen to the subjects that they like to hear about. And there are things in God's Word that preachers don't like to preach about and listeners don't like to hear, but there's a reason it's in God's Word, because we need all of His counsel. We need the Old Testament, the New Testament. We need every scripture, every verse to equip us for what this world has thrown at us. And if you've been following along, you know that we just finished the Gospel of John. And again, you can go back to the washandword.com website and listen to any of the messages through all of the Gospel of John that we've done. But as I just said, we need the Old Testament as well as we need the New Testament. So we're going to go ahead and take a book out of the Old Testament and begin that today. And we're going to look at the book of Jonah. And we probably won't even get into it today because I want to spend a little bit of time giving you a background on the book of Jonah. And I know I've been in enough churches and sat through enough sermons where as soon as the preacher says, oh, I want to spend some time giving the background, a lot of us tune out because we don't really care what was happening at that time. We just want to know the meat of what God's word says. But really, it's tied together, and I'm going to try to deliver it to you in a way that not only is educational and entertaining, but also that it brings the truth of God's word alive into your life, and more importantly, the application of God's word. And so, as we look at the book of Jonah, I'd like to start off by saying, and this is kind of paramount to the concept of this book, there are about 3 billion people in this world today who cannot even attend a church service or a Bible study without fear of government or other religions. That's almost half the world who are unable to do what we do right here in the United States, and that is to freely worship on any given day. And it's something that we take for granted at times. And it's for that reason that we want to make sure we have the right mindset when it comes to the Word of God. It is a privilege to not only be able to meet together and preach His Word, but it's a privilege for us to take God's word and be able to freely give it to others. And that is what we do here, and that is what God wants you to do as you spread your life and your faith and your witness to others around you. Now, by way of word association, let's try a little experiment here. I'm going to name a character in the Bible, and I want you to honestly think of what word association comes to your mind when I say, for instance, if I say Noah, what's the first thing that comes to most people's minds? If you said the flood, well, yes, that's probably what Noah most reminds most people of. If I said Daniel, one of the first things that probably comes to your mind is the lion's den. If I say Samson, you probably think of strength. And of course, when the name Jonah comes up, almost exclusively, the thought of a giant whale or giant fish swallowing him is what we most associate with the prophet Jonah. But let's do a little background on Jonah. He was a very unusual prophet, and by that I mean he didn't kind of fit into the two major classifications of prophets in the Old Testament. And those two classifications were there were minor prophets and what we call major prophets. Of course, the major prophets being those of like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, typically the ones that have long chapters involved in the books and represented a large time frame in the history of Israel. And then we have the minor prophets, and the difference between them mostly, and these are books like Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. There are 12 minor prophets, and they're minor, which, when you translate what the word minor prophet means in the original Greek, it means books that I don't usually read. Now, that, of course, is a joke. It doesn't really mean that. But if we're honest with ourselves, these minor prophets get, well, minor amounts of attention. And other than the fact that they are shorter than major prophets, they are certainly not minor in regards to the message that God had through them to His people. And Jonah had a unique message that was unlike all the other minor prophets, and that is the message Jonah had wasn't for his own people. It wasn't for the Jews. And just as we have that word association exercise that we just did, we also have the same kind of mentality when we think of certain men. Like we think of Moses and we think, well, Moses, you know, other than the great things he did, he kind of recoiled in the beginning of his ministry. He didn't want to do it at first. We know Elijah, there were times where he murmured a lot and, you know, kind of the poor me attitude. And then there's Jeremiah, who was basically a crybaby. Lamentations was his follow-up book. He wept a lot. He was known as the weeping prophet. But there's one thing all these men did, even though they kind of bucked a little bit at what God wanted him to do, is they did what they were told. And this is where Jonah differs. And it kind of reads like a fairy tale if you take the whole thing in its context. There's magic vines that seem to just grow out of nowhere in rapid fashion. There's entire nations who repent, which is almost a fairy tale in and of itself. There's the giant fish, you know, swallowing episode. And I mean, just one of these things alone could cast doubt on this book being a literal book, but more like a fairy tale, and you throw all three of those instances into the same book, well, that's a tough one to swallow, if you'll forgive my pun. But this is a book that is to be taken literally, as are the events that take place in it. There was a time in my life, in my early Christian walk, where I didn't believe all of the Bible. That is, I knew it was God's word. I was saved, but there were parts in the Bible that I kind of just thought were, you know, maybe made up or used as metaphor. And then the Holy Spirit one day just convicted me of the truth of all of God's word one morning. I mean, it literally happened overnight. And it reminded me of a little joke I heard one time where a little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. And the teacher said that it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. And the little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher got irritated and reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. And so the little girl said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah." And the teacher asked, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" And the little girl replied, "Well, then you ask him." Now, that's a cute little story, but it's put in there to reiterate the fact that this is not a parable. This is not a story or some myth. It's not allegory or even a metaphor. Jesus himself referenced this story as a real factual event. In fact, Jesus was a type of Jonah, or more specifically, Jonah was a type of Jesus. And again, the story is always related, it seems, to the swallowing of the whale. But the truth is, other than the prayer that Jonah spoke inside the whale, there are only three verses that pertain to the whale swallowing incident. So there's a lot more to this book than just a whale swallowing a man. And the first application that we will look at comes from author and preacher C. Campbell Morgan, where he once said, "Men have been looking so hard at the great fish that they have failed to see the great God." And that is so true so often when we get hung up on the part that God really wants us to see. Now, a quick bit of time frame history here, because it's important to the story. At this point in time, Israel was now split. There were two kingdoms. There was Judah and to the south, and there was the northern kingdom up to the north. And the northern kingdom was under serious bondage by the ruling empire of the Assyrians. Jonah's ministry began around 800 to 750 BC. We don't know when the actual book was written, but we know when the time that he was during this period when he lived. And he lived in a time when King Jeroboam and both Jonah and Elisha prophesied of a time when the northern kingdom would take back the land that they had long lost to the Assyrians. And this is important because enemies to the north of Nineveh were pressing against the Assyrians, who at that time controlled Nineveh. And so what happened is the attention that Nineveh gave to the enemies north opened up the door for Israel to reclaim the land. And we'll look at more of that in chapter 3. But it was during this time of reclamation of the northern kingdom that Israel began to gloat and they got proud. They were gloating and they were not giving God the glory that he deserved. And God became displeased with them. So we're going to stop right there because that's an important aspect of this story. They were gaining ground, they were being boastful, and they were not giving God the glory. And that, friends, is why this book was written and given to us, not the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a big whale. Okay? So hang on to that because when we pick it up in our next message, we're going to look more closely at what was taking place in the land of Israel and how it pertains to us as Gentile believers. There's a great connection here. So please join me again tomorrow on this radio station at 8:30. Again, you can go to washandword.com or swing by the Wash and Word hand car washing business, and you can tune to 107.1 to hear these messages. We'll see you there. Have a blessed day.